Well, let me welcome everyone who's here this morning, and those of you that are visiting, we're glad you're here. And we want to invite you to come back at every opportunity that you have, and I hope you'll want to do that. If you are visiting for the first time especially, please do get a visitor's card. You should find it just in front of you. Fill that out and hand it to one of us, and it'll get to the proper channels, but we'd appreciate that. Got a couple of other announcements I want to make before we actually get into the lesson. You might be turning in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, and I'll start in Matthew chapter 25. But one update on the sick list is that Bunny's mom is not doing very well. They had to put her back in the hospital, and we found that out late last night. So she is back in the hospital, and please keep them in your prayers. Also, I put out a new list on the bulletin board, some upcoming events, and you might want to take a look at that. I've scheduled a song practice for the last part of this month and a Bible movie night for the first part for those of you that are interested in that. But anyway, take notice of that, and also the class, men's and ladies' Bible classes coming up this Friday night, actually. And one final announcement. Those of you that are scheduled for the follow-up meeting, this is where James meets with you and you ladies especially, and talking about the things that we discussed in the business meeting. And that will be held immediately after services this morning. And if you're not familiar with all of that and need more information on it, please see James Jeans. And appreciate that. Without any further delay, let's get back into our lesson. As I said to my class downstairs, the weather has kind of interfered with keeping some continuity on the idea of our theme. But we are talking about fulfilling my purpose. That's our theme for this year, and we are looking at that in various areas. Obviously, this first quarter, we're talking about fulfilling my purpose in the church. In the last few weeks of this quarter, I want to emphasize the idea, really, of our talents, our abilities, the use of them. And this morning I want us to emphasize the idea that we all have them. We have talents, we have abilities, and God has given them to each one of us, each member of the church, to use them. So in a practical sense, I need to step forward with them. So let's talk a little bit more about that. In Luke chapter 12 and verse 34, this is our theme verse. And the idea of where my treasure is, there my heart will be also. I want to start this morning by making a connection. And I hope that I'm able to make this in a very simple a very simple way, a very practical way. But we might ask a series of questions. What is my treasure? Now, I'm going to emphasize that in the lesson this morning. You might say, well, what does that have to do with talents or with abilities? I believe when you ask the question, what is my treasure, and I'm going to explore this a little bit in the sermon this morning, it is the same as asking, where is my heart? And I'll explain why I say that. It is the same as asking, what is my purpose? And the reason that I say that is because as we grow, especially, you know, as we grow up from children, we reach adulthood, and as we begin to develop what will generally be our character throughout life, there are certain things that we place a high value upon. In fact, we treasure them. Sometimes parents will have children, obviously, and the children will become the treasure of their life. The highest value they place will be upon their child. I think that's natural. I think that is what should happen. But the idea of it's something or someone that becomes the greatest value in your life, it becomes your treasure. And where your treasure is, obviously, there is also your heart. Jesus said that. And when you talk about your heart, you talk about the composite of your thoughts, your feelings, your motivations, etc. And generally speaking, I mean, whatever we value in life, and certainly the greatest value we place, will be where our heart is. That will consume our thoughts, our feelings, etc. And as we begin to develop all of that, or identify all of that, we take on a purpose in life. Let's continue to use the analogy of a parent. A parent has a child. That child becomes the greatest treasure of their life. They think about that child more than they think about anything else practically in life. And the idea of being a parent, hopefully being a good parent and a godly parent, and all of the things that are required in doing that will become a great purpose in life. I want to be a parent, and I want to be a good parent. I know that is the case for myself, and I know that is the case for those of you that are here that are parents. And so my purpose is where my heart is. It is my treasure. And those things are inseparable. Now, as we begin to look at that and think about what Jesus is saying, then we begin to think about my purpose in the church. And we'll apply these ideas, these principles, these interrelated ideas to the idea of my talents, my abilities. So let's explore that a little bit. In Matthew chapter 25, and hopefully you're open to that passage, Jesus was telling a series of parables. This was the night of the betrayal. Jesus is about to be crucified. And so he is really drawing everything to a conclusion here in the sense of his teaching, etc. He came to die, as Ed was talking about a moment ago, and he fulfilled that. He did accomplish that. He gave his life for us. And on that night, he began to talk about the idea of his leaving. He was going back to heaven. And in this parable that begins in verse 14, read this together with me. Actually, he had started in verse 1 saying, the kingdom of heaven is likened unto, remember those 10 versions. And then he said in verse 14, for it, literally, for it is as a man traveling into a far country. I don't think it's a far-fetched idea to say that is Jesus himself. He was going to be crucified, resurrected, spend 40 days here, but he was going to ascend into heaven, to go into a far place. So the kingdom of heaven then becomes like a man traveling into a far country. He called his own servants. Now, I happen to believe that Jesus is talking about every Christian here. The idea of a servant, the most commonly used term in the New Testament for a Christian. It's not Christian, it's not disciple, it's not member of the church, it is servant. He called his own servants, and he divided unto them, or delivered unto them, his goods. Now, when we talk about someone's goods, we talk about their property. We talk about what belongs to them. I've asked this question before, and I've asked it recently of several of you. What are Jesus' goods? What belongs to Jesus? And as you begin to think about that, you realize, well, certainly, the church building, for example, it is the Lord's. It belongs to Jesus. Everything that is in here, our songbooks, our class material that is purchased with the Lord's money belongs to Jesus. We belong to Jesus. Very quickly, you begin to understand, well, I belong to it. I'm bought, you know, with a price, the price of the blood of Jesus Christ, so I belong to it. And yet you think further and you understand that what God teaches us is everything belongs to me. The cattle of 1,000 hills. So when we say Jesus delivered his goods, it means everything. Now notice verse 15. Unto one he gave 5 talents. A talent was a piece of gold. It was a unit of money in ancient Roman times. Now we're not talking about ability here. For you'll notice later in the verse that he divided these pieces of money according to each one's individual, or the King James says, several ability. So what we're talking about here more than anything is that pile of goods. We might think of it like a pile of money. We might think of it, for example, as a sum, you know, maybe an astronomical number, but whatever, $100 billion. And Jesus would gather every Christian there would ever be in front of him, and to one Christian after another, he would begin to give part of that money. And the amount that he gave to each one to use would be based on that one's ability. So if you have the ability to handle more, you're going to get more. If you have the ability only to handle less, you're going to get less. But the point is, every individual is given a certain amount of the goods that belong to Jesus according to their ability. Now you know the story here, and I'm not going to read it all. But Jesus tells the story of how the one man that had received 5 pieces of money, in other words, he had a lot of opportunity to do good, and he had a great responsibility. He used that carefully. He increased, he doubled that amount of money. The same was the case with the man who got 2 pieces of money, and Jesus said to both of them, If you'll notice, for example, in verse 23, well done, good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of the Lord. But we all know the story here that the one with the least amount of ability, and thus the least amount of responsibility, he was given one piece of money, one talent. And he was told to use that, and he was expected to use that, but he was afraid because he believed Jesus, rightfully so, Jesus to be a hard taskmaster. And you know, like children, we usually say somebody is hard. That my parents are hard on me. Why? Because they expect me to do what I'm supposed to do. That's a hard parent, as opposed to an easy parent that just says, do whatever you want to do, I don't care. But the truth is, Jesus does care, and Jesus expects us to do what we are supposed to do. And so the man said, I knew you were hard, and so I was afraid. And I went and I hid it. I buried it. And so I just give you back what you gave me. And Jesus calls him, of course, a wicked and slothful servant. Now, as we look at this and we think upon this passage, let's think for a moment. Each of us, according to our ability, is blessed with certain talents. Now, talent I'm using here like we normally use it. And I'm going to come back and explain these terms in a moment. But we're blessed with certain talents and abilities that may be used for the Lord. That may not be. And most people in the world choose to use their individual ability for themselves, selfishly. And they waste or squander the opportunities they have to use them for the Lord. But God expects it. It is to be used in His kingdom. And if we embrace that, what is my ability? What is my talent? Let me embrace it. Let me put it in my heart. Let me let it begin to grow in value to me. Let it become a treasure to me. I can do this thing. Learn to love this thing. You know, you may be someone who starts out like I did all those years ago. In fact, this past week, I celebrated 38 years of obeying the gospel. And 38 years ago, when I obeyed the gospel, almost immediately, I began to say, I want to teach what I'm learning. I was studying, you know, hours a day, and I wanted to teach it. I believed I had an ability. It was going to take a lot of embracing, you know. I was not good at it. I had never, you know, the idea of being a preacher and standing up before a crowd of people and talking about the Word of God had never been what I desired to do. Not even remotely. But if you embrace it, and you treasure it. It came to be the greatest desire of my life to do that. And all the other things that I wanted to do with my life, and I had a lot of them, a long list, like most 17, 18-year-olds do. But all of those things began to fade into the background. That became my treasure, to preach. And I got to tell you, I still love it. I love it like I did years ago. Now, it's been, you know, it's not been always easy to do that. But the point is, it is what I can do. And so you embrace it, you treasure it, and you step forward with it. You say, I can. I believe I can do it. And you learn how. You work on it. And the truth is, regardless of our background, regardless of our gender, it doesn't matter if you're a man or a woman here today, and it doesn't matter your level of education. We've had people in this audience, and may have this morning, I don't know, that people with a doctorate, and we've had people that didn't finish high school. But your level of education is not what determines necessarily your only value to the kingdom. It doesn't matter your financial ability. We have people that are very well off, and we have people that are not well off at all. But everyone is useful. The idea, we could go on and on with that. We could talk about social status, and we could talk about racial, you know, characteristics, and on and on and on and on and on. Regardless of where we come from, we all have talents and abilities. And we all can use them for the Lord. And the truth is, there is a place for me in this church here, this congregation. I have a place. I have a place that Jesus is expecting me to fill. He is expecting me to step forward with those things that I can do and take my place. It is not that I am called by Jesus to sit back and kind of observe everybody else doing what they do. And then talk about whether or not the church is everything it should be or it is not. It will never be everything it should be until we all do what we're capable of doing. The idea of filling the role that I'm expected, I'm supposed to fill, that the Lord has called me to fill. So we might honestly ask questions like this. What is my purpose? And I'm going to make it even more pointed. What is my purpose here at East Orange? If I don't know that, if I have not taken time, like we talked about last year, to meditate, to really focus on that, to look in the mirror and ask those questions of what are my strengths, what are my opportunities, those kinds of questions, then I need to do that. And I need to begin to answer the question for myself and certainly to answer the question the Lord wants me to answer, what's my purpose here? What am I supposed to do? What do I, and this is the phrase I like to use, what do I bring to the table? And I've told you before, I'll tell you again. When I was a boy, in the spring, we would have what we call Decoration Day. Some of you are familiar with that and from your denominational background. But it was a day in which you went around to various churches, cemeteries, and so forth. You put flowers on the graves. And it was a great day for kids because what it meant was, well, I mean, we like putting the flowers out, you know. But after that, we were going to all gather together, and we did this at this little old church down in Alabama out in the forest. But we were going to gather together, and there was going to be spread tables and tables and tables of food. There was every kind of meat, every kind of side dish, and most importantly, every kind of dessert you could imagine. And you were going to have this great, huge feast. I ate venison for the first time in my life at one of those gatherings. It was a love affair for life, you know, that kind of thing. What do you bring to the table? Everybody brought a dish. Nobody brought the same thing in the sense of there wasn't anybody, or everybody was not bringing the same thing is what I'm trying to say. If we had, there may have been 100 buckets of Kentucky Fried Chicken. Now, I like KFC, but you know. The idea is, what do you bring to the table? What is special about you? What is unique about you in this place? What can you bring that really and truly no one else can bring like you? Whatever that is, the Lord is expecting me to use it at this place. You know, when you look at this passage in Matthew 25 and you begin to consider how Jesus really expects of each servant to use it, you understand. I have talents. And you know, a talent is a special ability, you might call it unique, that allows someone to do something well. It's a characteristic feature. You know, there are people in here that are very sympathetic. There are other people that find it not that easy to be. I mean, the point is, whatever your characteristic traits are, they can be used for the Lord. And they can be used right here. We're going to emphasize that in a passage, not this morning, but especially in Romans 12. Each of us has an aptitude, a disposition toward things. The natural endowments are the aptitude of a person. That's what talents are. Now, in addition, there are abilities. And there's a slight nuance of difference. We're going to emphasize that in a second. But an ability is the power or skill to do something. The competence. Now, see, I like the idea of me preaching. I wanted to preach. I believed I could preach. I still had to learn how. You know, that's the point. You've got to learn what you're teaching, and you've got to learn how to communicate it so that you're able to teach people. The power or skill to do something, the competence to do something, the natural aptitude or acquired proficiency or capability. Now, let's kind of summarize that. These are commonly used interchangeably. People talk about talents, my talent, my ability as the same thing, but there's a slight nuance of difference between them. One carries more the idea of what a person is born with. And you're not going to change that. You're either born with it or not born with it. So you might call it your natural ability. Look back at the idea of a talent. When we talk about someone has an artistic talent, they can draw a picture. Others of us would never be able to do that. It's something you're born with. It's there. is the idea. Now, you can develop it, hone it, you can get better at it, or you can never use it, but you were born with it, and if you're born with it, you've got it, and if you weren't, you don't. And that's just the point. The natural endowments or aptitude of a person. But one is more the idea of what a person acquires in life, what he or she learns or gains. And so we might call this an acquired ability. And that's more the idea of ability. Because you notice the definition, it's all the idea of competence. It's the acquired proficiency. Now, for example, and those of you that are sports fans, I know Rich and I were really talking about sports this morning before class. We know that there are certain people in any given sport that have natural talent. They have loads of it. They're born with it. They are 7 feet tall, and I'm never going to be, no matter how much I dream of being that. They have the ability to do this. They have the ability to do that. That's the idea of what is natural to them. But all of us know people, athletes, for example, who were born with a load of natural talent and wasted it. Absolutely threw it in the garbage. I'm not going to call his name, but there was a well-known basketball player who was drafted right at the top in the late 80s. Within a few years, I mean, I think it was three, literally, he was gone. He was out of basketball, and at the age younger than me, died just a few weeks ago out of prolonged drug use. He threw his natural talent away. We can do that. And there are other people, we know people in sports, for example, who had some natural talent, natural ability. But they used it, they honed it, they developed it, they got to the point where they used it to the point that they became not just a good, but great sports figure. And people would look at that person, and I could call some names, and they would say, there is a person that got everything out of the talent they had and made up for it with hard work and dedication. And those are the kind of terms we use. Now, that's the idea of acquired ability. On the one hand, you may have a person with loads of natural talent, and it may or may not ever amount to anything. On the other hand, you might be a person who has some talent, but with your dedication, if you give yourself to that, you will be a great use in the Lord's kingdom. So regardless, whether it is natural or acquired, our skills need to be developed. I mean, you can take your natural talent and you can be a Michael Jordan, or you can throw it in the garbage and just die. Or you can take your ability that you acquire in life, and you can get better and better and better and better until you are of great value to the team. Let's look at one other passage. Turn with me quickly to Matthew 6. Now, this is a passage that I'm probably going to come back to a couple of times, but I do want to emphasize it a little bit this morning. This is Matthew's alternate passage to our theme verse in Luke 12. And again, of course, Ed read it for us earlier. But look at Matthew chapter 6 down in verse 19. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, but, verse 20, lay up treasures in heaven. As we begin to look at this, I want us to go back to our idea of what we treasure. What I treasure is what I value is what is in my heart. Now, that's what I put up first, and that's what we started talking with. My greatest treasure is what I value the most, and notice, what dominates my thoughts and feelings. In other words, what is in my heart. Now, I think if we're honest, we all understand that. And I believe that you can start by asking yourself, if you want to know what you place the highest value on, if I were to ask you or ask someone, and I have done this in private studies and that kind of thing, and I've said, what is the thing that means the most to you in life? And a person might reel off my children. And then I began to say, ask questions like, what do you think about the most? And the truth is, it's not their kids. Or what really dominates your thinking? What do you really apply yourself toward, give yourself toward, give your time, your effort, etc.? And it's not their children. And so then we have to be honest about it, and we have to come back to asking, how high a value do I place upon my children if I never think about them and I never give any time or effort or anything else toward them? Now, the truth is, that's easy to see if we're talking about something like our children. But if I were to ask the question, what person is the most important to you in life? You might be inclined to say, especially at church on a Sunday morning, Jesus. What person has done the most for you in life? You might be inclined to say, Jesus. What person do you want to give the most to? You might be inclined to say, Jesus. But when you begin to explore and you say, what do you think about on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Saturday night? It ain't Jesus. So how high a value is Jesus to me? Or the church, the Lord's kingdom, etc., etc. So I need to begin to look at it like that and listen to what Jesus is saying. He warns us not to lay up, that is, store up, amass treasures on earth. And we do that by what we give ourselves to. The value we place on things. What comes first in my life? What do I think about every day, all day? What do I give myself toward? That is my treasure. And Jesus warns us that that should not be treasures on earth, because earthly treasures cannot last. No matter how much I want to value them or hold on to them, embrace them and take them in my life, they're passing. And so if money is my treasure, well, guess what? You can't take it with you. And on we might go. If pleasure is my treasure, no poetic pun intended, you're not taking it with you. And so the idea is, don't lay up treasures on earth because you can't hold on to them. On the other hand, heavenly treasures are lasting. For example, I'm not going to turn to these passages. One of them, Wes emphasized in that great lesson last Sunday morning. So I would encourage you to listen to that online. But Hebrews 11 and verse 4. Abel, long since dead, thousands of years, and yet the Hebrew writer made the point, he being dead yet speaks. How long will it be before people stop thinking about the likes of, for example, Abraham Lincoln or George Washington? Now, they're not Christians. And yet, the works they did, the things they left behind, the legacy they left in this life will go on and on. And so it can be the case with you. In Luke 8, Jesus taught in the parable of the sower the idea of you taking the word into your heart, a good and honest heart, and bearing fruit. And I ask you this question. Who taught you? Who taught that person? Who taught him or her? You know, a lot of us might know who taught me, and maybe even the person that taught them, but go back three or four generations and we don't have a clue. And yet, how important is the work they did? How lasting is it? And someday on Judgment Day, and Dale Smelser was the first one to ever point this out to me, and it's an awesome thought. Can you imagine on Judgment Day, if you are allowed to know that, and you begin to see a person who taught a person who taught a person who taught a person who taught a person back hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years? And somewhere back there, that person lived the kind of life that attracted an individual to the truth that 26, 38, 49 generations later, you were taught the truth because of it. What kind of value is that? That's a treasure. And that's the kind of treasure that lasts literally forever. How I use my talents and my abilities will ultimately depend on what I value the most. If it's Jesus, then we'll see that. If it's not, we'll see that. Here in Matthew 6, Jesus talks about your talents and your abilities. Again, I'm going to emphasize this in a later lesson, so not so much here. To understand how I look at my abilities, it can't be cloudy. It can't be unfocused. It's got to be resolute if I'm going to use them for the Lord. Jesus made the point here in this passage. You will love the one and hold on to it, or you will hate the other and disregard it. So many of us think that we can hold on to everything. I want to hold on to the world. I want to hold on to Jesus. And I'm holding as hard as I can. And yet Jesus is saying, you will love the one and hate the other. You will hold to one. and you will disregard the other. So we ask the question again, where is my heart? If you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, if you believe in Jesus, that He's the Son of God, if this morning you're willing to give your life in every sense of that term to the Lord, you will change your life, you will repent, and you'll be baptized for forgiveness of your sins. You will become a member of the Lord's kingdom, and most important, you will belong to Jesus. You might be here this morning and you might be looking at your life and you might be saying, you know, Michael, I'm a servant. And I know I have ability, and I know that I've been given opportunities to use that ability by the Lord. But I know that I've not done what I need to do. And I want to ask for the prayers. I want to ask for prayer to the Lord that I will be able to be stronger, more committed, and be able to use what God wants me to use for Him. Won't you please come?